Welcome back. Let's get started. Kyle Prebilski is Cal Cloud Services Solutions Executive at IBM, which he joined in 2013 to bring his experience and passion for cloud, mobile, social, and big data to corporate America. After a successful career in the startup world as CEO of Capital Benefits Technology Solutions and Formation Human Dynamics, leading both through successful acquisitions. Kyle has extensive experience helping large global and Fortune 500 companies build, modernize, and optimize their enterprise application portfolios for cloud and enabling cloud transformation of their IT environment. Please welcome Kyle Prebilski to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
I really don't know who that guy is because I don't, doesn't sound like me at all, but apparently that's what I've done. Who wants to be a dinosaur when there's an ice age coming? It's kind of become my favorite quote as we walk around and I talk to people. It kind of just popped into my head one day that where we're going and the transformation that's occurring right now in the industry around cloud, that's kind of my thought process. Who really wants to be a dinosaur right now? Because I think what cloud brings to the table is a brand new era of computing, not only for the private sector, but for the public sector. So if not, it's not if, it's really about when and how, right? Cloud holds great promise. It's gonna facilitate the greatest transformation of IT, not only of the environment, but also of ecosystems. So really, it's about how does IT use cloud to go from a provider of services to a broker of services that are gonna focus on specific business values for their users, for their end customers within their organization. So I think we're probably all on the same page around, you know, we know that especially governments, I work in the state and local, so I represent all of the client facing and all of the solutioning for CalCloud for the state of California. So back in February, IBM won a contract to stand up a private cloud for the entire state of California, which is a first of a kind endeavor. And it's been exciting. I think California is the eighth largest economy in the world, so the potential that cloud brings to the state of California is really huge. And I think what we've recognized, right, in the industry is around imperatives and solutions that attach to cloud, especially in public sector. How do you improve citizen services? How do you use cloud to improve citizen services? How can you use cloud to manage resources more effectively and more efficiently? How can you improve public safety and security? How can you improve healthcare services? Build intelligent systems, improve tax and financial systems. I think those are really some of the industry imperatives and solutions that cloud is going to enable, especially in public sector. So I'm gonna give you a quick overview of what CalCloud is. I'm not gonna give you really an IBM at all. What I wanna do is go from what CalCloud is, and then I really want to have a discussion and a conversation with you guys about what you really think cloud transformation is about. And I want to challenge some current held industry thoughts on how you actually get from current state to future state. So I'm hoping that this can be a little bit more interactive and we can actually have a little bit more of a discussion. I really don't want to stand up here and talk for 45 minutes straight, so I'm hoping that we can go through that. So, first of all, CalCloud was about rethinking government IT and improving citizens' expectations. So, if you think about it, cloud from not just cloud, but mobile analytics, big data, and social. How do you weave all of that together into one single tapestry that's going to improve the lives of citizens, constituents in the state of California, or in the state of Georgia, or any other state in the US? So what we look at is, for the end user, building something that provides instant access to them so they can easily access the services that they need, right, at a time and place that they want, that it gives added transparency to the citizen about their government, that it builds a trusted, mutually beneficial relationship, which I know probably is a little oxymoronish when it comes to government, but at the end of the day, what we want it to do is provide a seamless experience that is going to match the constituent with the service that they need. So when we go from there, what CalCloud is. CalCloud is first and foremost a flexible service model which adapts to departmental needs, and now I'm going to talk about it at the state IT level for a minute. Flexible service model adapts to the department needs, able to bring future services online and provide new solutions easily for the state and for their agencies and departments, and for local municipalities across the state as well. Second, it's designed to follow the usability model, right? So we wanted to provide an intuitive, relevant, role-based, and customized user interface for the people that are using it. Third, CalCloud needs to be able to support flexible dashboards, reporting services, service catalogs, enabling state cloud service consumers to feel and be in control of their IT environments and ecosystems. Fourth, CalCloud provides enterprise class availability, including backup, restore, and disaster recovery capabilities for the state. Fifth, CalCloud was built to be extensible so that at any point in time, we can meet demand by bringing in any vendor or any service provider's solution. A little bit different, right? CalCloud is extensible. It's built so that we could bring in HP boxes. Our storage currently is actually on NetApp boxes. So it is meant to be a very new model, right? It is a quintessential public-private partnership with the state and the end user fully in mind. Lastly, CalCloud supports multiple security standards and models, and it's highly secure multi-tenancy architecture. So, FedRAMP, HIPAA, PHI, PI, NIST, all of those are readily available. IRS 1075, we haven't had a request for it yet, but contractually, we will provide that with a 90-day notice. So, it was built and designed to be the most secure managed cloud service available today. So, enough about CalCloud, enough about IBM. What I want to do now is actually talk about cloud and transformation of cloud and actually how you build and design cloud. So really what I want to do is I want to get a little bit more detailed around design. I'm a developer. My background is a developer. So to me, the beauty is in the design. So what I want to do first is I want to add some sunlight to the clouds. These are the three things. I've been in probably 22 of the top Fortune 100 organizations, private sector. I've been in about 20 different states over the last 12 months. I've talked with a lot of CIOs, a lot of developers, a lot of different line of business owners. And these are the three main things that I think I hear every time I go in to talk to somebody. When we talk about cloud, what they want to know about is, hey, we've got 10 really big mainframes. How do I get my 20-year-old application to cloud? My question always is, why do you want to get it to cloud, right? There's not one model, but legacy applications and language issues are huge, right? Because a lot of those mainframe applications are in COBOL or PL1. And you're talking about stuff that's 5, 6, 10 million lines of code, right? I don't know, average it, $2 a line if you wanna remediate it, maybe $1 if you're lucky you can get it for $1 a line. So you're talking somewhere between $5 and $10 million for a COBOL program with 5 million lines of code. It's 20 years old. It probably runs every day. Probably doesn't have a lot of interaction. So is that something that you should move to cloud? Second, I understand what's on my floor, but not what's spinning in the infrastructure. I see this all the time. And it doesn't matter whether the company is managing their infrastructure and their applications, or if it's being managed by a third party. Sometimes when a third party's managing it, it's even worse, because any of that source code, any of that initial detail for the application has long since been lost, and you've had transitions between third parties, right? And when one third party leaves and a new third party comes in, they don't make it easy. It's kind of like when Clinton left the White House and Bush came in, they took all the W's off the keyboard. They do everything they can to make that transition hard on the next person coming in, right? So that's another big thing I'm gonna spend a few minutes talking about. Third, and I think this is kind of the big one, and this is where I spend a lot of my time, converting interest and promise to business value. That's the tough one, right? To be totally honest, infrastructure as a service, that's the hardest business case to make. There's not a whole lot of upside there. The upside's gonna come from your PaaS, your new development as you go forward, right? So designing the cloud from the beginning the right way becomes even more critical if you're gonna convert interest and promise to business value. So first, let's work on demystifying cloud. I talked a little bit about language issues and legacy applications already. Just show of hands. How many of you would say language issues and legacy applications would be your number one concern or number one driver if you're thinking about moving to cloud? Would it be in your top three? Yeah? I see head shaking, okay. So, and feel free, if you guys have a question or comment, just bring it on. I really do want this to be interactive, because I'd really like to just kind of have a conversation. And I think especially when we start talking about clouds, there is no one size never fits all with cloud, right? No one opinion on cloud is right. And so please feel free. I'm really adaptable. If this kind of goes in a little bit of a different direction, I'm fine with that. I just want this to be productive use of your time, because I appreciate you coming and spending your time listening to me talk. Language issues and legacy applications, right? I talked about COBOL. Yes, Marty.
So the title of the slide is demystifying the cloud. You asked that would be number one. And so my pushback would be number one would be security, reliability, or the perception of security and reliability.
Right.
What are the, besides this one, what are the ones you have?
Do you have one minute? Around demystifying or? No, so language issues and legacy applications are one. I think understanding cloud infrastructure is another one, right? So the difference between private, public, on-prem, off-prem, the security around all of them, right? Do you do it? Is it encryption at rest? What's the best way to do it? Do you use brocade switches? Now we're getting into a little bit more of the architecture of it. But I think that comes back to, again, designing it the right way from the beginning. So I think when we get into demystifying cloud, what I hear a lot from clients is not tell me about my infrastructure. I hear a lot about tell me about my applications. I don't hear a lot about tell me about my infrastructure. I think most, whether public or private sector organizations, they understand what's on their floor. They know their boxes, they know their architecture, they've got the diagrams. That's kind of the easy part. What they don't understand is how do you build the roadmap to get from current state to future state? So I think all of those things become an issue. But one of the main things that I hear is the language issues and legacy apps, because that's what they're most concerned with, is how do you get... And one of the big reasons is because, especially when you start talking about COBOL, when you get into public sector, there are not a lot of skilled resources that can do COBOL in the States, right? And I know there's a lot in India, but government, right? You can't just have landed resources. They have to be citizens to work Fed. So average age, I think, of a COBOL programmer right now is something like around 55 or 56. They're quickly timing out of the market. They're getting close to retirement. And getting those services is getting more and more expensive. So there's a large financial services company in the Midwest that I've spoken to several times, and their CIO's number one concern is the cost of maintaining legacy applications. And that's why he's looking at cloud. So I think it's just around, but what they want is to understand the roadmap to cloud. So most organizations, I think, are focused on trying to demystify cloud. I think where this goes, though, horribly wrong, is that they'll focus in on one area. They'll say, we want to go all private. Or we want to look and see how we go all public, which I don't know why you'd ever want to do that as a public or private entity. Or we want to use it to overhaul IT, strictly overhaul IT, be more innovative, right? But what we know is that you need a roadmap and a template around transformation, and one size never fits all when it comes to cloud. So looking at, I want to just build a public, I want to just build a private infrastructure, never the right answer, always steers a company down the wrong path. So rays of sunlight. They want to be enlightened. What's on my floor? What's spinning on the infrastructure? I've been in organizations where they have applications spinning on infrastructure, applications they haven't used in over 10 years, just because they don't want to pay to decommission it. Fortune 10 company doesn't want to pay to decommission it. So, rays of sunlight. Everything can go into the cloud, but should it? Right? Good example. In state government, DMV, right? One of the processes of DMV, they have this printer that prints your credit card when you go in every time. You smile, take the cheesy picture, they print it. Should that go to cloud? Do you really want to hook that printer up? Do you want to take a cable, hook it to the cloud? Probably not the best idea, right? That's probably an application that you want to look at and say, from a functional standpoint, probably better on a discrete server, on-site, or very close to where they do the work. Same thing, seat across the board, right? Manufacturing, other areas in private sector even, where you have crown jewels, right, that manage manufacturing. Is that really the kind of application you want to move into a cloud environment? Not everything should go to cloud. So when you start looking at what's on the floor, you get a better understanding of the combination of services and the types of cloud services that you're going to need, right? Whether it's public, private, on-premise, off-premise, chances are what you really need to be doing is understanding first what your applications and your workloads look like. Cloud is an application-centric economy, right? Anybody disagree with that? Old data center, on-site data center, much more infrastructure focused, right? I think V2V, I'm not sure I've ever seen a true V2V move, virtual to virtual move within an infrastructure, because you always have to do some type of upgrade or remediation. But in cloud, I can honestly tell you, moving V2V, I just don't buy it. I don't think it really occurs. People may say, well, we moved to V2V or reported. I'm going to say, show me the application that works. Can it scale horizontally? Can it scale vertically? Can it auto-scale? What can it do? It's kind of like when you start talking about going to that, you need to find the right future state for that application. Otherwise, what you end up with is a jack-in-the-box. You guys ever hear this analogy? When you move an application into a cloud environment that's really not fit for the application, it's like a jack-in-the-box. You crank the handle, the thing plays the music, but the jack never pops up. You know, you end up with a bunch of angry kids when that happens in an environment and you've done that to a client. Illuminating the bright spots in cloud. Yeah. I think it's the characteristics of the workload itself, right? I mean, what actually does it do is the first big question. Second thing, honestly, licensing issues, right? If it's got Oracle database licensing, we may have a harder time putting it in CalCloud, for example. I'm not picking. I saw you were from Oracle. But it's one of the things that we consider, right? If it's OpenStack. The actual licensing of that makes a big difference, right? Because if you move it, it can change the whole agreement that you have. And all of a sudden, you have an application that's OpenStack that's virtually free that you put in the cloud. And now all of a sudden, you find out 6 months later, you get a bill for $1 million. So can it scale? What's the way that it, I think, scales? That does matter whether you're going to public or private. Generally, what I will say is when you go to public off-prem cloud, especially for a lot of large organizations like this, your dev test workloads are really the kinds of things you're looking to put in that environment. You start putting any type of production-based applications into a public cloud, especially an off-prem public cloud, I would honestly tell you that 9 times out of 10, that's going to be more expensive than running it on-prem or private. So those would be a few of the examples that I could give you off the top. But generally, it's going to be very dependent on the workload itself and what the requirements are. Because you could have latency concerns. You could have additional security concerns. So compliance issues are always a big one as well for determining. So converting interest and promise to business value. As I mentioned, And some people may disagree with this, but really focusing on an infrastructure as a service move for a company, that benefit cost curve is not an easy case to always make, right? You're really looking at the design to drive that. And the last slide I've got is actually I'm going to show you a really good example of what it looks like when it works the right way to a company. Or to a public sector. But I really strongly believe that responsibly architecting the proper cloud environment, you have to first consider the suitability of each and every application that's going to go into that cloud. And then the new environment that you want to create and the resulting ecosystems that spin off of that environment. Yeah. Basically, it's about specific to line of business, right? And do we use that to help identify where basically what to drive out of the business case around moving cloud? And the answer basically is yes, right? I think in public sector it's a little bit different in what we look at than in private sector.
Right.
to.
That would be really exciting because it opens up, that's saying to the customer, I think there are new possibilities that you've created.
Right.
Because you're in the cloud.
Yeah, and I think here's the cool thing about the cloud is I really love what I do.
Every day I get up and I enjoy it. The only part I don't enjoy is I'm based in Chicago and I've got to go to Sacramento every week. So I don't like traveling 18,000 miles a month. But I get really excited when I get there again. Because the conversations that I get to have with the state and the state agencies are kind of fun. Because when you get into government sometimes, they forget that there's a lot of innovation that can occur within both federal and state government, right? And so you start talking about some of the things you can do, right? California's a little unique in that you have earthquakes and you have a coastline. And one of the things that they have there that they've built that I think is very much in that way and it leverages cloud heavily is a mobile 911 response, which they have in other places too. But California is unique in that between wildfires, potential earthquakes, they have to think about things in California that nobody else really thinks about. In other words, you have a marina, right, in Sausalito. What happens if an earthquake hits and you end up with a tsunami, which it's kind of hard, but just go with me here for a minute. It's probably more relevant down towards LA, actually. But and it wipes out a harbor where you've got 75 people that live. How do you know they're there? How do you notify them? How can you quickly find out, right, if these people are alive or if they're not? So it's a very unique way that you can start utilizing cloud, right, as the center. And then as using cloud as a fabric, you can then build on, right, mobile, social, use big data analytics to power better solutions for the constituents.
Question.
Yeah.
So I'm asking this as a citizen. What is the scope of CalCloud? Is it state agencies only, or does it include city and county?
It does include city and county. So it includes every public sector organization in the state of California.
Justice and public sector?
Yes. Yep.
Law enforcement.
So, in some areas, larger counties, a lot of them have their own cloud already. So, you know, I think coming off the bat, it's really geared towards the state, but it's, you know, we're talking, I can honestly tell you, we're talking to a lot of municipalities right now as well. And then counties are big, you know, some of the smaller counties. So LA County has their own cloud, their own private cloud, but, I think there's varied use cases, right, where CalCloud may provide a great value for a very specific area for a county like LA, and I think you'll start to see broader adoption even for those counties and larger areas who already maybe have a cloud offering. The other thing that I think we can offer them is CalCloud offers them the idea that, because there's a sovereignty law in California on applications, so California basically says, if you have an application, it has to remain in the state, within the state geographical boundaries, and you have to know where your data resides. So CalCloud offers that opportunity for them as well. And then by tying it in with our soft layer offering, which is our public cloud, we can actually offer that at the public level as well for them. So that's kind of one of the gating factors, right, for state, but it is open to everybody. Okay, so I think we've kind of established a challenge. These are kind of the three big ones that I hear. They're not everything. You may not agree with these are the three biggest, most pressing ones. But I think they kind of get the conversation started. So this is how we do it today. We start with an IT roadmap. We establish our IT roadmap. We then move to the architecture. We decide the architecture. Then after we've decided the architecture, then we do a workload assessment or analysis. So we've done our roadmap and our architecture without even really giving a lot of thought to what sits in the environment. Then from there, we try to look at our mix of enterprise and public cloud after we've developed our roadmap and our architecture and the workload assessment. Now we want to make cloud, right? Determine how we're going to set that up, and then we want to implement it. So, just show of hands, how many people would agree that that's the best way to design a cloud solution? I see no hands. So my next question would be, I wonder why cloud adoption is still so dang low, right? So this is what I really want to talk about for the rest of my time. So we've got about another 15 minutes, and I want to talk about what I think is important to transformation for either a public sector or a private sector, and it all stems from the beauty of design. First, you always hear, never look backwards, always forward. I think when you start talking about designing a cloud, you've got to look backwards. You have to understand how you got to your current state environment that you currently have, right? This is where you start. Too many cases, this is always the afterthought. This is where they go to after they've already stood up the cloud, they've got their applications and their workloads in there, and they're coming back saying, hey, I don't have the economies of scale, I'm not saving money, and worse yet, it's costing me more money, and none of my applications work right. When you look back, first, it feeds your roadmap and your blueprint, right? We start to look at the applications. The application is king in the cloud environment. It's not the infrastructure, it's the application now. So we need to understand around the application, what are the connections? What connections does that application have to other applications, right? What are the constraints? What are the interdependencies of that application on other business services or applications within the organization? That becomes really, really important, right? Because just because one application can move to cloud doesn't mean that it can, because of the interconnections or interdependencies that exist. What are the priorities? What are the business's priorities, right? That makes a huge difference. What do you want cloud to do for you? Do you really know what you want it to do? Or is it just this cool new shiny space with magical unicorn rainbows, right? Do you have logical affinities between applications? What we really start to think about when we look back is how do we create a more efficient IT run, right? It's the real beauty of design. Next, fast forward, right? What I want to encourage really is a design revolution around how you move to cloud, how you transform your current state to your future state cloud environment. So we start by addressing the design components, right? Once we can do and we understand what our applications look like, what their interdependencies are, what our organization's priorities are, can we build logical affinity groups with the applications? Now we can actually start designing based upon what's actually in the environment, instead of designing and then trying to make your environment fit your design, right? So when we fast forward, we investigate how you transform current IT environments and ecosystems to a cloud environment that enables a cloud ecosystem. One of the interesting things here, I think, around cloud, and this is another one, I'd like to open up for a little debate if anybody wants to talk about it. I think we're asking companies and organizations, especially in public sector, we're asking them to move to a standardized environment. Cloud is a very standardized environment, right? I like to use the analogy that what a cloud, if it's done right, should really look like is Costco, right? You walk into Costco, you have a whole lot of choice, right? But Costco is very standardized, right? With the exception of liquor, because we all require more choices when it comes to liquor, they only put 4 items from each category on the shelf, right? So just like cloud, we want to make it very easy for the consumer to choose what they're going to purchase, right? T-shirt sizing, small, medium, large, extra large. Next, we want to offer the highest possible services, right? Because cloud is not about anymore. It's not about your infrastructure. It's not about everything. It's about a service level agreement. Really, when you go to cloud, you really shouldn't care what the hell's behind the magic curtain. What you should care about is the service level agreements, because that's really what you're buying at each step of the way, right? Security, uptime. Is it 5 nines? Is it 4 nines? What's your storage look like, right? Those are all the things that you're really entering into agreement when you start to transform to cloud. But now what we're doing is we're asking organizations that have had a hard time, most likely, standardizing their current environment. We're asking them to now move to a cloud environment that's going to be highly standardized, right? You need to get buy-in from your organization as well, right? You're asking them to move to a standardized environment. Your future state. It's going to be a standardized, hopefully, pattern-based environment that contains orchestration and automation, right? And you got to take those things, you got to put them into a new template and a new roadmap. How you're going to get there. What it looks like, how you're going to get there. Now, once you've gone through your applications, right, you've assessed the application suitability, you can put those applications into basically one of 4 buckets. You can move an application into an application that would be a rapid, right, based on certain criteria. You can put them into a rapid minor where you'd need to do some version upgrade. You can put them into a reinstall, which basically, in my estimation, reinstall would be, you know, let's say you're on Tomcat, you got to put the Tomcat in. Now you've got to move the application over and you have to do remediation on top of that. So that's reinstall my book. It's a much more complicated endeavor than just simply sticking, you know, your application, your source code in there and then pulling it up and running it. And then lastly, you would have your remediation, right? When you get those applications identified, you can now take that information and that knowledge, and you can start to look at how you design a hybrid cloud that meets your organization's most pressing needs. So we start with a design revolution all focused on not how we build and set up our cloud and then have to make our applications fit, but how we make the application the center of the new environment and build the environment around our applications. Lastly, create. You have to revolutionize what you learn about what's sitting in your environment, right? You have to design and build a cloud environment around that new revolutionary template. You have to design a roadmap that transforms to that future state that you've identified. And if you don't, what you end up with is if you don't design your future, you're going to get stuck iterating your way out of it. I guarantee you, having to iterate your way out is going to cost you 10x what it would cost you to do it this way from the very start, right? Look at what's spinning. Look at what your environment consists of. build your cloud solution from that standpoint, build your template of what that looks like, right? What goes into private on-prem, what goes into public off-prem, where you may need or benefit from bare metal, what may be better on a multi-tenancy. Those are all the kinds of things that you want to design for. So in summary, we're going to look backwards, we're going to fast forward, build the design revolution, and then we're going to create the blueprint to transition our applications and our workloads into a cloud environment, right? That's the way that we need to build, especially in the public sector, we need to build and design clouds, right? The most cost-efficient way possible. When you do it that way, these are the kind of results you see. This was a petrochem company, not a public sector, but current source, 230 physical servers. We started with the applications. We made them the center of the focus. The proposed target operating environment, 18 servers. They had three generations of OS. We were able to standardize down to one generation of OS. Nine OS variants to four. Four major. You can go down the list, right? You guys can see it. It'll be up too. But this is what we're talking about. This is what design revolution looks like at the end of the day, right? This is where cloud transformation provides the most benefit. And I'm going to leave you with that picture. So I appreciate your time and your participation and your attention. I hope it was a good use of your time. So I thank you all very much. They had it all set up for me when I walked in here.
Oh, okay. Because I think that's my presentation. I'm just trying to figure out. Marty just left. Well, we're having a technical challenge here. As soon as we solve it, we'll get started. I'm sorry about that. Hmm.